Welcome to The Jump. I'm Brian Winhurst in for Rachel Nichols. Today, I am joined by our front office insider and the nightmare for barbers across America, Amin El Hassan, an NBA champion and stalwart NBA defender in his day. If you don't believe me, check out his Twitter feed, the one, the only, Kendrick Perkins. Hey guys, coming up, Dwight Howard is joining the Lakers in the Orlando bubble. But what changes for them now that he's doing so? We'll discuss. But first, Bradley Beal, the NBA's second leading scorer, will not play for the Wizards in Orlando, citing a right rotator cuff injury. Wizards GM Tommy Shepard said today that Beal will not require surgery. The Wizards are already without John Wall and Davis Bertans in the bubble, and now Beal will not travel with them. So Perk, what's your reaction to Beal's decision to not play?
Well, I love it all across the board. When you look at what the Wizards are doing as an organization as a whole, they're making the smart moves. Listen, they know that if they go down to the bubble, the best that they could do is get the 8 seed and get smacked up by the Bucks. That's a waste of time. You got one of your star players, one of your franchise players in Bradley Beal who's dealing with an injury. Rest them up. Get them ready for next season when they have a healthy roster with John Wall and Bertans. Smart move. And also, you know what it does? It gives them a chance to evaluate other guys that plays Bradley Beal position and be able to evaluate their team. And then it gives other guys the opportunity to make an impression on the front office. So I think it's a great deal, great move by Bradley Beal, great decision by the Washington Wizards, and I support it 100%.
Oh, Brian, you know, one of the fun things I get to do every Wednesday is I do this show called Hoop Streams. I do it with Cassidy Hubbard, and I do it with my friend Kendrick Perkins. And we had a conversation on Hoop Streams, I believe it was a week ago, where Perk was like, Wizards are in this. They're going to get to that play-in spot. They're going to get to the playoffs. This is what it's about. Bradley Beal ain't send this out. And less than a week later, Perk, where are we at? He's sitting out because of the reasons that I said last week. There's no point in him coming back. He had this, he first complained of shoulder pain back in January. This is according to Candace Buckner of the Washington Post. And here we are, 7 months later, 6 months later, now all of a sudden he can't play? Come on. We know better. We know it's because there's no point in him playing. And you're right, Perk. All those reasons you listed, they're absolutely accurate why he shouldn't play. But it's also a great reason why the Washington Wizards should have never been here. We know that the only reason they're here is for the money.
Okay, so that's true, Amin. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that Beal's shoulder is bothering him that much. It's not my shoulder, but I'll point out his last 11 games that he played for the Wizards, he averaged 37 points. But this is just the inherent situation that the league has. They have set this up so that some guys, you know, frankly, don't think it's worth the risk, while other guys have to take the risk so that everybody gets paid. It's not fair. And it's the best of a bad situation. That's just the truth. And we're going to keep saying that sentence over the next few months. But Beal isn't the only player that made his decision today. In fact, Nets guard Spencer Dinwiddie announced he will not travel with the team as he recovers from complications from contracting the coronavirus. Dinwiddie tweeted this today. After another positive test yesterday, and considering the symptoms, Brooklyn Nets team doctors and I have decided it would be in the best interest for me and the team that I do not play in Orlando. I will still be supporting the guys every step of the way. Hashtag audience of one. Don't know what that means. Amin, the Nets are already down Kyrie, KD, DeAndre Jordan, Wilson Chandler, for all kinds of different reasons. What sort of reasonable expectations do they now have in the bubble? They are in seventh place.
Yeah, you get eight games to loosen up. You play in a playoff series as, you know, sacrificial lambs, and you go home. Hopefully you go home not having contracted anything, not having torn anything, not having pulled anything. But it's not realistic, again, for those bottom two teams, or bottom three teams, really, in Orlando to have expectations of any sort of success. I mean, I guess the most optimistic picture I can paint is for the Orlando Magic to maybe move up to seven and have a little bit of a better time against the Toronto Raptors in the first round. But the reality is Brooklyn, Orlando, and Washington, you're just here to collect checks. And I'm not talking about the players either. I'm talking about the owners. You're just here to collect checks.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Amin, on that part. But I'm looking at Spencer Dinwiddie and his health. His case of the coronavirus is a lot different than others that tested positive in the NBA. He was really ill. Like, you know, Spencer and I share the same financial advisor in Gary Scharf, and he was telling me that Spencer really was ill and really had some real effects from the coronavirus, and for him to test positive again, you know, hold him out because, the Nets are not going anywhere, right? They're going down there, like you said, to collect a check. But also, once again, it gives other guys an opportunity. G League guys, guys that are on two-way contracts, guys that were drafted second round, guys that got called, that's getting called up. It gives them a chance to audition. And also, guess what? It gives the Brooklyn Nets organization, Sean Marks in the front office, a chance to evaluate the staff, to see how they're going to do, to see what kind of, you know, swagger they're going to bring down there, X's and O's. Although they're not playing anything, it's an evaluation period. So they can get something out of it, I mean. It's just not like they're going down there to collect money. No, they can reevaluate the organization, the coaching staff, and players get a chance to give to make a good, great impression on the organization.
Well, should you be a fantasy player or may want to make a small wager on a game or something like that, keep your eye on Caris LeVert because this is one of the guys who's going to benefit. When Spencer Dinwiddie or Kyrie Irving haven't played this season, he's averaged 32 points per 36 minutes. Somebody has got to score for them. Caris LeVert is going to be that guy. So definitely a situation for him to really shine amongst other players. Hey, after a thorough decision-making process, Dwight Howard has decided he's going to join the Lakers in Orlando for the NBA restart. Howard told CNN last night, quote, "I feel like we have a great opportunity. The Lakers do for winning the title this year." Howard also said he will donate his salary, which, by the way, is around $700,000, according to our Bobby Marks, that he earns in the bubble, to his charitable foundation, Breathe Again. Perk, what changes for the Lakers now that Howard has decided he's going to join the team in the bubble?
Everything changes. Listen, when you talk about the Lakers, you talk about LeBron James, you talk about Anthony Davis, and the next name that comes to mind is Dwight Howard. His story has been unbelievable this season. He's playing exceptional basketball, and with him and Anthony Davis on that front line anchoring that defense, it's the best front line defensively in the league. You're talking about two guys that are very athletic, great at shot blocking, and also on the offensive end, Dwight Howard gives you that dynamic roller. When him and LeBron James are in a pick and roll, LeBron loves Dwight. Because he finishes at the rim, he finished with authority, and he brings out a guy who's averaging 19 minutes and almost averaging 8 points and eight rebounds and almost a block shot off the bench. And he's one of the best stories because of what was happening. No team wanted them. The Lakers took a chance, and he's making the right move right now with going down there because he knows that this is a golden opportunity for him to win a championship. And I'm proud of Dwight for going down there and, you know, making a case. Because if he win it, guess what? That makes him a strong candidate for a Hall of Famer, having that on your resume.
He's a Hall of Famer anyway. But, Brian, a couple of years ago, you coined the term margin for error, right? When talking about the Golden State Warriors, that they had the greatest margin for error perhaps in NBA history. And that you needed so many things to go wrong for them and so many things to go right for you in order to beat them. I'm going to steal that and talk about the Lakers. I think the Lakers' chances are, without Howard, we're still good to win the championship. But that margin for error is a lot, everything right. What Dwight Howard does, it gives them a lot more breathing room. Specifically, in the sense that you don't have to rely on JaVale McGee to play too many minutes. You don't have to rely on asking Anthony Davis to play too many minutes at a position that he doesn't want to play. And you don't have to rely on Kyle Kuzma to play minutes at a position that he doesn't play. And so what Dwight Howard does is he eats up a lot of those minutes, and he does them productively, and he's in the right place at the right time defensively. He's, as Perk just said, when he's out there, they are pretty daunting defensively. And then offensively, you see the field goal percentage. He finishes still at a high rate. And when you got a guy like LeBron, as great a passer as LeBron, you need someone who's always going to convert around the basket, and that's what Dwight Howard is. But do I feel like had he not come back, the Lakers championship odds would have been done? Absolutely not. We know this all. This conversation all starts and ends with LeBron and Anthony Davis.
That's true, but they'd already lost Avery Bradley, who's a rotation player, and if they had lost Dwight Howard before anybody had to worry about the virus or any sort of injury, it would have put them back. So I think they're very happy that he will be joining them on the plane this week. Hey, coming up, we all saw that Super Bowl MVP Patrick Mahomes got a 10-year deal yesterday. So we ask, what NBA player would you sign to a 10-year deal if you could right now? That's next. But first, the countdown to the regular season continues. We're 23 days away. So here's play number 23. Take a look.
Hornets have the basketball, down two.
They give it to Washington. Graham goes back to Graham, puts up a three. Oh, it's good! It's good!
He did it! Give him a pink Graham! Guts of a cat burglar!
Nila Keenum was right on him. I don't even know how he got the ball off. Right there, look at that. How did he even get it off?
The basketball tournament is back tomorrow for the $1 million winner-take-all event. The round of 16 continues with a doubleheader starting at 2 Eastern on ESPN. Hey, let's jump around to some news outside the NBA. Super Bowl MVP quarterback Patrick Mahomes has signed the largest potential value contract in pro sports history with the Chiefs, a 10-year extension that our Adam Schefter reports could be worth over $500 million. That got us thinking. Perk, if there was one player in all of today's NBA that you would give a 10-year contract to, and you could only choose one guy, who would he be?
Right now, today, I would take this guy right here, Luka Doncic. Let me tell you why. The Mavericks got a young stud. We talking about a guy right here that's averaging 28, 9, and 8, the rookie of the year. He's only 20 years old. He's been compared to LeBron James. He's been compared to Magic Johnson. And guess what? This is another Dirk Nowitzki in the making for the Mavs. So if I'm the Mavs, guess what? I'm signing Luka for life. He's a professional. He won at the professional level overseas. And he's a young stud, and he will be a future MVP. He's box office. He's a fan favorite. I'm going with Luka.
Yo, the reality is the economics of this game. If you have a young stud and someone gives you the opportunity to sign him for 10 years, you do it regardless of who they are. Magic Johnson, once upon a time, signed a 25-year, $25 million deal. Everyone lost their mind. And within 3 years, there are already people making more than him, because the reality is the trajectory of this sport is going upwards. The salaries goes upwards. And when you get cost certainty today, you value that over cost certainty tomorrow. Here's the reality, though, or cost uncertainty tomorrow. Here's the reality, though. If you ask me to pick one guy, I'm going to pick the 25-year-old who's already an MVP and might be a two-time MVP by the end of this season. It's Giannis. This one's easy. I mean, everything that you talk about, Luka or Ja Morant or Zion or any of these other young guys, that's great, but I already know this guy's a real deal, and he hasn't even hit his prime yet.
Yeah, and I'm sure people are saying, well, where is the name Zion Williamson? And I mean, I'm a humongous believer in Zion's future, but I think if you're for the sake of this discussion, we just don't know his health. He's already had a number of knee injuries. So I agree. I mean, I think Giannis is probably a safe bet. Also, Luka, you're not 100% sure on his conditioning, but hey, there's nothing guaranteed in life in the next 10 years. If anything, the world has taught us in the last few months. Moving on to the Knicks. Former NBA agent Leon Rose enters his first offseason as the Knicks president. Mark Berman of the New York Post suggested that one of his former clients, Suns All-Star Devin Booker as an intriguing possibility to eventually join the team. Rose has an extensive Rolodex of former All-Star clients, guys like Joel Embiid, Chris Paul, Karl Anthony Towns, Victor Oladipo, and even once represented LeBron before Rich Paul became his agent. I mean, while Booker is specifically difficult, he'd be difficult to get because if he's under contract for four more years. Are you intrigued by the idea of Rose recruiting some of his former clients, including Booker, to the Knicks?
I feel like we do this every year with the Knicks. Somehow, somebody employed at the Knicks is the godfather's cousin's baby mama's sister brother of the person who plays for another team. And boy, we'd love to have him. Think about this. I'm not saying that Devin Booker is absolutely happy in Phoenix. Obviously, things haven't gone the way he'd like it to. But if he were to choose one location to go outside of Phoenix to leave, you tell me he's going to pick a team that's even worse? That he has an even worse track record? Why? Because his agent is running it? Why? He's rushing to go play with Frank Ntilikina and Kevin Knox? Come on, man. The only answer here, if he were to leave, and I'm not sure he's at that level yet, but if he were to leave, it's Minnesota. It's where his best friends are.
Hey, listen, Leon Rose did something special last week, and guess what he did? Hired a guy by the name of Worldwide West. They call him Worldwide West for a reason. He has relationships with everyone. I'm talking about everyone. If you want to talk about Jay-Z and Drake, this guy is powerful, and he knows how to interact with people. I'm pretty sure that that's why they put him in place, so that he could go out there. We know Worldwide West is a mastermind when it comes to working his mouthpiece and swaying guys to come in his direction. That's why he was under Leon Rose in the agency. So I'm not knocking it. I think that with having Worldwide West, that the Knicks could land Devin Booker. Worldwide West could talk anybody out of anything. Great guy, but he got a hell of a mouthpiece on him. And that's why I believe in it.
I would say to the Knicks, don't count on Leon Rose to bring former clients. Try to get him to pick guys like he picked his clients to bring out of the college ranks. That is where his impact is going to be. Don't count on him bringing them in. Coming up, J.R. Smith has joined the Lakers roster as a substitute for Avery Bradley. We'll hear from J.R. about his state of mind returning to the NBA and what he can bring to the Lakers. But first, here's a distant replay from this date in 2007.
Shannon Brown split. Yes! Do you believe the elevation? Wow, what an athlete, Shannon Brown.
And another guy that got some quality minutes this year for Cleveland. And when guys get those opportunities, they get great confidence.
Coming up next, it's 20 minutes of Jalen and Jacoby, highly questionable and around the horn. Then a two-hour Sports Center starts at 5 East with the PTI guys joining at 5:30, and we cap the day with another Sports Center at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. So newly signed Laker J.R. Smith is preparing to travel to Orlando with the team. And on a conference call with reporters on Monday, he detailed the depressed state he said he was in when he was out of the league. Here's what JR said.
Your time in the NBA was over?
Yeah, I went through a very depressed state for a long time. And it lasted for a few months where I just didn't. I'm a big video gamer, and I didn't even want to play 2K anymore. I don't want to hoop. I don't want to work out. I want to play 2K. I don't want to do anything with basketball.
Amin, what do you make of JR's comments?
I mean, it's understandable. This guy got blacklisted basically by the Cavs just because they wanted to move in a different direction. Not played him less.
Preach.
They just didn't play him. And so he's been away without being hurt or anything. So I hope that this experience, you know, picks up his spirits.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I see a Dwight Howard story in the making. Leave him open if you want to. JR has a unique skill set, and that's guess what that is? Shooting the damn basketball. That's perfect for what the Lakers need.
All right, we have this just in at the buzzer. This was 76ers star Joel Embiid talking to the media a few moments ago. Take a listen to what he had to say.
I'm not a big fan of the idea, but then again, you know, I'm going to do my job. I'm not going to let the city down. You know, I'm going to go and represent my city. That's what I've always done. The mindset doesn't change. I mean, it doesn't matter the fact that I don't like that idea and I still don't believe in it. And I don't think it's going to be safe enough because I know I'm going to do the right things. I know I don't ever do anything. I only play video games. I'm always home. I don't do anything. But then again, I don't trust those other guys to do the same. So, but like I said, I got to do my job.
Perk, Joel echoing some stuff other players have said. What do you think about what he said here today?
Well, it's not like the NBA and Adam Silver forcing guys to go. They gave him the option. If you don't feel safe, you don't feel comfortable, stay home. It's not, and that's the thing that I took from the video is that from that clip just now is that he's saying, I gotta go do my job. No, you don't have to go do your job. You have an option. You could stay home or you could go down there and compete in a billion-dollar bubble, period.
Yeah, no, I think he's right, though. We're basically basing this entire bubble on the honor code, that everyone's going to do the right thing, and you can't trust that everybody's going to do the right thing, as we can tell by the rest of the country. The reality is he's not going to stay home because, A, he wants to get paid, but, B, he would be the highest-profile player from a good team to sit out if he did.
All right, well, Amin and Perk, thank you so much for joining us. The Jump will be back on Thursday. Have a great day, everybody.